Welcome to BFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hour to encourage you is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Also joining us is John Ramos.
Good morning.
Morning, morning, morning. Now I want to encourage you to realize that the Lord is with us. No matter what's happening in the world today, God is in control. What you're seeing take place in the whole world right now is God getting man's attention to saying, I exist, I love you, I have a plan for your life, and I want you to turn to me. Morning, morning, morning. You are listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me this morning to encourage you in the Extra Hour is John Ramos.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Also joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
My goodness, it took us a little while to show up. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, we've been talking about a few things about, you know, what's taking place, you know, in the world and getting a perspective. This is very healthy and very important. And I encourage you that the previous hour that we talked about, that to remember that, but also share that with other listeners and make that known. And we want to make that also as a related highlight to everything that we're talking about, you know, in those areas, to understand the only reason we're sharing that is to get a right perspective, not to to ridicule or to bring division or strife or that type of thing, because you just, it's not successful. It doesn't work anyway, but you just don't want to do that. You know, we're not supposed to, I mean, look at Jesus. I mean, Jesus rebuked the people who said that they were doing what was right with God. It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You know, it wasn't all the other religions in the world. I mean, he didn't even address those. You know, he talked to the people who said that they were his, and he's going like, you know, you're whitewashed tombs.
That's right.
He would talk into I mean, of course, there was many different, you know, pagan religions and all those things going on, but he dealt directly with the people that are his, or that said they were his, or said that they were ministering in his name. And so that's where our issue is. Our issue is with us, you know. And so if we'll turn our focus inwardly and to test ourselves to see if we're in the faith.
That's right.
You know, and you'll find out that, like, you know what, if I change, maybe the world will change. So many people, they say,
imagine,
you know,
that.
It's amazing when I change my attitude that my latitude changed. You know, it's amazing when I change my attitude at work, how everybody just got better. You know, and what happened was that person just decided to deal with themselves, you know, and then everything just changes when you get the right perspective. And that's what will happen with the church. You know, we respond to what God is saying to us. I mean, he's not saying it to the world. The world right now, what's happening in America is a byproduct of a church that's been in rebellion, you know, where we've gone astray, and we've you know, as you talk about, is America under God's judgment? You can watch that on VFN TV and it draw your own conclusions based off the evidence and off what God says. And the conclusion would be that the things that the church is really talking about quite often is our harvest for our rebellion, which means if we no longer rebel, then our harvest may go away. You know, and what we talk about, you know, with God is the innocent blood. It's real tough to be able to. We don't know which way it's going to go in regards to the innocent blood, because that's one thing that God, he's so just,
right?
He's so just. And but you know, y'all remember, you know, Jefferson Bethke. You remember where he had the "I hate religion, but he loves God." You know, he has a new one out called Counterfeit God. Uh-huh. And it's so powerful because we're talking about, you know, the perspective of the church, you know. And you got to hear this. I want to play this for you so you can hear. It's going to be available today on the VFN Torch. And I just love his perspective. It's a spoken word. So you'll hear him speak, out. And just a young man that's got a passion for God. His gift is a spoken word. And he talks, he confronts the church in his last one that he had done. And now he's talking about counterfeit gods. Matter of fact, listen up.
You might say, I don't believe in God, but the Bible says not possible. See, everyone has a God, whether or not it's the God of the gospel. You might not believe in God, but everyone has that one thing that's king. Even the dictionary defines God as whatever we make supreme. Because it's a theme, it's a thread, you see it inside all human beings, the fact that we all worship. And no, it's not just about singing. Now I know you like, Jeff, I don't worship. I put that on the shelf, but I say technically we all worship. We just worship ourselves. See, we all worship something. To an object, we're all liable. Ladies, to some, your boyfriend is your God, and Cosmo is your Bible. Yet, we mock and we laugh at the Israelites' golden calf, but we do the same thing right back. It just looks a little different than that. So, question, what's on your throne? See, what do you chase so that you don't feel alone? See, what defines you? What do you give ultimate worth? And what, if taken, would bring ultimate hurt? Now, see, that is your God. And all of us, we've sacrificed deep joy for shallow happiness. To be honest, we look like fools. We're like full-grown adults in the kiddie pool going, oh my goodness, guys, this is like so cool. Because we're slaves to our possessions. We're always craving something new. Reality check. If you can't give it up, you don't own it. It owns you. And that's why the Bible, it says we're spiritual prostitutes. In fact, it even says we're worse, because at least prostitutes get paid for their works. All we get paid is a hearse. And that's why worship, it's not just behavior. It goes way into our core. So ask, what is your God? What do you bow down before? For example, some of us, we don't worship God, but we worship what he said. We got theology in our head, but in our hearts, poor, pitiful, naked, and dead. Or some of us worship in stadiums, while some of us worship in bars. Some of us worship our possessions, while some of us worship our cars. See, some of us worship science, while some of us worship the arts, but I don't care what clothes your idol's wearing, the disease is the heart. Or my favorite is those guys who say, Jeff, I'm a man because I'm in control. Okay, then tell me, why can't you stop having sex with your hand while staring at your MacBook Pro? Or what about those guys who trade their wives for their jobs at work, give more time to their boss than their actual wives' needs or hurts? And ladies, no guy can love you more than Jesus already has, so stop putting your worth in Magic Mike. He's so much better than that. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're probably thinking, Jeff, are you saying that we should hate money, hate alcohol, and never have sex? No, but I'm saying God created those all to be enjoyed in their proper context. But I want to transition. I want to make a spiritual incision. Can we really say these things are the ultimate purpose of living? I mean, instead of worshiping the creator of you and I, we've all said, screw you, God, I'll take your stuff, but you can die. But that trade is terrible, trading God for man. It's like God offers us water, and we say, but God, this is such good sand. Or my friends, they'll say, Jeff, a God that requires me to give up something, I just can't fathom. Yet most of us seem fine giving up everything for a quick orgasm. I mean, am I the only one who's felt the gnawing within? Am I the only one who's felt the weight of my own sin? But see, here's what's unique. Go ahead and critique, but if you hear anything, hear this one thing that I speak. Where we exchange ourselves for God thinking we could be him, he exchanged himself for us, absorbing all our sin. I mean, God literally put on flesh, and do you see how we treated him? The ultimate war veteran, because he was killed for our freedom. Nonetheless, he was thinking of you and me with every whip that beat him, knowing full well we'd still go, nah, I don't really need him. But like a father, he couldn't bear his children to not be free. So he thought up that tree, paid our fee for specks of dirt like you and me. So my plea is let him restore his proper place. I promise he loves you right now. Just trust in his grace, because before I leave, I'll leave you with this. What are those other things took nails in their wrists? Or how about when's the last time money or sex forgave you? When's your boyfriend set you free from all you're enslaved to? See, what else died so that you could be made new? Or when's the last time the world promised satisfaction and actually came through?
So true. He's talking to the ones who caught God's eye. He's talking to us. Mm-hmm. And it's so true. If we apply the principles and understand that everybody has a God.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, who is it?
Mm-hmm.
And what is it?
What is it?
If only 3% of American church says, God, you gave me this job. You gave me this increase. And we give him his tithe and his offerings. Then he's our God.
Mm-hmm.
But if we say, I cannot afford to acknowledge you are the one who gave this to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I cannot give you any of what you gave me. Then we say, money's God.
Mm.
And the mercies of God is that he would even let us still have it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm.
Mm. This is such a now word. It's such a now word for our perspective that if we apply the principles and what you're even here with Jefferson and what he's talking about, and we're going to make that available to you today on the VFN Torch, that listen, let God's Spirit confront you. Just be confronted. You know, it's amazing. It took me a long time to realize people avoid confrontation. They don't want to be, mm-hmm. they don't want, you know,
mm-hmm.
where I'm like, talk to me. I want to hear, give me some feedback. People aren't like that.
Nope.
They're going like, no, I have no problem. I have no idea that my leg's dragging behind me. I don't mm-hmm. even know it, and I just don't we'll talk about it. Or not only is the elephant in the room, the elephant's sitting on you in the room, and they're going like, don't see it. Don't talk about it. You know, and it's like, but your life's miserable, and the people are miserable around you, and that God loves you, and that, you know, that, but this is a battle for your heart. He's, you know, like Jefferson's saying, you know, the disease is not a matter of the flesh. The disease is a matter of the heart. And you think about dis-ease, where things are easy. And so your easy is no longer easy. It's been dissed. It's dis-eased. And you're anxious and you're nervous and you're worried and you're concerned, because all of your gods are about to fall. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a religion. Maybe, you know, it's money. You know, maybe your God is America. Maybe you made God, America your God. You know, maybe you made your denomination a God. You know, maybe you made, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, you know, it's amazing what people, maybe you've made your digital device God. You know, and how you know is that when you do without it, how do you respond to that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I really believe what's about to happen in America is there's going to be a God check. You know, things are going to stop for a little bit so that God, he says, the reason why I took you in the wilderness. We told Israel, the reason why I took my people in the wilderness is to reveal what was in your heart. Now, he knew what was in their heart. But they didn't know what was in their heart. But when you get into a place that you no longer have your loaves, your garlic, your fishes, your idol, all the different things that you have in your life, you find out that, hey, you know, and you start, you may find out, like, I don't even know God. I knew of God, and I was very religious, but if I knew him, I would know he's with me now, but now I'm saying things like, I'm all alone, and there's nobody here for me, and I lost all my stuff, and God's going, like, didn't you tell everybody that you had me?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you tell everybody I'm the one that gave you that job?
That's right.
And if I'm the one that gave you that job, can I give you another job? Can I take you into the wilderness and take everything from you and give you over to your lover so they don't want you anymore? And then finally you're left with nothingness, and then I could begin to whisper in your ear and restore. Can't I restore you and begin to give things back to you one at a time to begin to show that, hey, I am the one that gave you the stuff before. It wasn't your lovers, but it was actually me who did it. And that's how God works.
Mm.
That's Hosea chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is a process of God, and understand that it's a God check. You know, and it's sort of like this. You're going to go into the military, you know, and you're going to go into boot camp. If you want to be prepared for it, you know, you start, you know, exercising, you know, doing, you cut your hair, go ahead and cut it. Everybody always thinks that they cut it short, but when they get, they find out there is shorter. I think I can see my neuroceptors in my brain for here, and that
my ears got so big.
Ears, yes. And so you just start preparing for what you know is going to come.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can prepare now for this God check. And let me tell you, if you prepare now, there'll be a grace in your life that even though you have things don't have you. And so if they disappear for a little bit, if you're without them for a little bit, and you can brace yourself, what we've been talking about, you can listen to Brace Yourself, you know, on your application and highlights or on the VFN Torch, and understand that you can prepare yourself. And one thing is just begin to deny yourself. Pick up your cross and begin to deny yourself, because Jesus said if we don't do that, we can have no part of him. Despite what all the American major majority gospel is, you know, that we have to deny ourselves, pick up our cross and follow him. But we can only do that through the empowerment of the cross. But we have to at least entertain the probability that I may have to say no to myself, you know, and say, God, I want to put you on the throne of my heart, because I may have you on 1 hour of one day of the week. Right now, that's where I got you, get that part of my life, but you don't have my every day. You don't have my every hour, you know, and I want you in the center of the throne of my heart. You want to invite him in the throne of my heart. And so you can begin to prepare yourself now. Listen, it's a lot better than walking right straight into boot camp, out of shape, you know, and all this stuff. You just have the shock. As a matter of fact, I know somebody right now that they went straight from that kind of mindset into this whole guarded, you know, cushioned, you know, naive life, and they went into the Navy, and they just went in shock. They just went in shock. I'm in the Navy boot camp. Come on, you know, the Marines are going, really? Is that possible?
They gave you a nice hat and a nice, you know.
Yeah, they were just in shock. I mean, they could not believe, because they did not prepare themselves for it, and they kind of went catatonic almost, you know, and had to go through this whole process. And it's like, that's what's going to happen. You know, this is a God check about to happen. God's going to take you personally, maybe, or us as a people through a wilderness experience to reveal to us what he already knows is inside of us that we might not yet be aware of, and realize that God only reveals things to heal things. He's not, you know, going, look at you. He's going, oh, I'm glad you noticed that. That's been around for a little bit. You need to go ahead and do away with that. You know, and then you got to go to him and say, Lord, you know, and you repent. This is the message that's not being preached today, is repent and be baptized. I mean, that was the first message of the church.
Mm.
And repentance is not a analytical decision. Repentance is changing not only your mind, but your heart and your direction and what you're doing with something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that could be done in a decision in one moment. But your understanding of the cross of Christ, which needs to be available on VFN TV, cross of Christ and the dependency factor, is that you'll be empowered to walk that out by God. I mean, he requires something of us to do that we can't do outside of him, but we have to make the decision to do it before he will empower us to do it. And then we have to put our faith in his finished work on the cross that releases his spirit to do it. So what that, what that's called is abiding with God, by hanging out with God and trusting him in this. We can do this, but it's together. It's a relationship. And so if you have not yet, you know, learn how to abide with him. And it's very important. And there's a definition of abiding. I mean, and this is our definition of it. This kind of just explains it in a nutshell, is that you're hanging out with God on a regular basis. You're hiding his word in your heart. You're reading his word. You're reading it. You're reading the Bible, not people's viewpoint. You're reading the Bible. And you're hiding parts of that word in your heart. You're memorizing it. Why? Because he says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I would not sin against you. So by hiding, spending time with God and reading his word and memorizing it in our heart, it helps us to say no to sin and identify sin, because the word is the truth. And so if a lie comes our way and we have the truth, we can go, I know that's a lie because I know the truth. And then we talk to God. Prayer is talking to him. Mm-hmm. And then we share, you know, our needs and what's going on. And then we listen to God. We just don't talk at him and leave. We listen to him and what he tells us or impresses on us to do. And we write that down, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go do it. That's abiding. And we have a simple plan for you to do that. If you presently do not have a simple plan, or, you know, we have one for you. You can request it for free right now. You can go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and read over a little bit. But you can request it. It comes instantly to you. Got a little simple little a video to be able to show you, you know, it's very basic. It's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be. And when you do, we have evidence from all age groups and all people across the land, different types of people, that if you'll apply this simple plan and do it with right heart before God, God will meet you there. Mm-hmm. You just hang in there and watch God. You do it for 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It could say, you know what, I'm going to take 6 weeks out of my, it takes 40 days to develop a habit, right? So they say, so just say, you know, for 6 weeks, I'm just going to do this for 6 weeks. And it tells you how to do it. It gives you a good plan to do it. You know, a lot of people want to do it. They just don't have a plan to do it. They need a plan to do it. And that's what that's about. It's iAbide. You think about it, you got iPads, you got iPhones, and now you have iAbide. So go to iabide.org and get your plan today. We'll be right back. Yeah, I think about that, promise keepers, when Coach McCartney, began, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get, men together, and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
You know, and what God birthed in us at that particular point was, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, and they went back to sleep, and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily, and we finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. We had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about, Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And right. he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once.
Mm.
Once. Wow. And then when he would preach once, think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
And what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums fill with people. We've seen them fill with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, mm-hmm. or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who's did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like,
wow.
Think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
John, check it out. I was going out to eat last week, and I got to sit down at my table, you know. Setting up my napkin, and this girl, so like, she just starts running up and down like the different tables, and she's like, "Hey, do you have the Find My iPhone app?" And I'm like, "The what?" She's like, "You know, the app where if you lose your iPhone, you can find it." And I'm like, "Well, that kind of doesn't do you any good if you lose your iPhone." She's like, No, I use your phone to find my phone." And I was like, "Oh, they got an app for that?" She goes, "Yeah, they got an app for that." I was like, "Oh, okay. Well." It was a cool thing. Like, as we started talking, and she started telling me about the app I needed to get. So I got that app, and I go, "Well, check it out. There's an app that you need to get." And she's like, "Really?" I go, "Yeah. There's an app, VFNTV.com. And she's like, "Well, how do I get to that?" I said, "You can go right on Android, or you can go on iTunes and type in VFNTV.com. Start telling her about the VFN radio, the daily radio program, everything that God's doing, God's news behind the news, the top three segments. You've got all the live programming. There's an app for that." And we start talking. She's like, "Wow, there's an app for that." I says, "Yep. Check it out.
There's an app for that.
VFNTV.com.
Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. There is an app for that. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is John Ramos and Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. What a program. Well, it's time. It's time for the top three on the VFN Torch.
Yes.
So exciting. Well, the first one I want to share with you is wise men see danger and do something about it. How wise are you? What an awesome segment, because, you know, we're seeing so many things happen. You know, prudent man sees danger, but he takes refuge. He does something about what he sees. And it's a great segment because in this segment, we discuss all the potential disaster that is coming to America, lest the church repents. And we need to know how to prepare. We need to know how to be ready. We need to know how to adjust. We need to know how to brace ourselves. And the best way that we could do that is to learn how to abide, to learn how to spend time with God, reading His Word, hiding His Word in our heart, and journaling and writing down what He tells us. So this is encouraging, but you want to be a wise person. You want to be a person that not only sees what's happening, right, but you want to be able to prepare for it. And so we encourage you. This is a fantastic segment. If you haven't heard it, make sure you listen to it on your app.
You know, when I was in law enforcement, you know, and studying, going to courts all the time, they talked about all the time about the prudent person. You know, the attorneys would talk about, the judge would talk about, they would inform the juries about, you know, the laws talks about, but you have to think about it in the context of what would a prudent person do. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's some normal things in life that, you know, that and it's only a fool who's not prudent. And the one that wasn't prudent, if they measured whether this person, you know, was and had an intention, had to be intent there to violate the crime. And it was the prudency of the whole thing, that it's not, we talk about being prudent preparation. It's just like there is a normal way to prepare when danger is coming so that you last through it. If there's a hurricane coming, you prepare for it. If there's a tornado in your area all the time, you probably want to have a tornado shelter there or a basement. You know, if you have a community or a nation that goes through famines, you know, you have to store food. I mean, there's just, if you're a teacher that works all but the summertime and you don't get paid in the summertime, you got to be prudent to make sure you have money in the summertime. I mean, you know, and that's where you're talking. Mean, it talks about prudent preparation that, and we're seeing right now a wave going across the whole world right now. And definitely you want to listen to that. That's definitely good. You're right. Prudent preparation.
Get prepared. Get prepared.
I think even CBN have a segment, this week. It's called Boots on the Ground. Boots on the Ground, and we don't have time to make that available for you, but you can go to cbn.org and type in Boots on the Ground, and they talk about prudent preparation. I mean, we've been talking about it for quite some time, but they just started talking about it. And, you know, you're going to need more than just water and food where we're going right now during this season.
And if you're just joining us, to VFN Radio, you want to make sure that you go to VFNTV.com, be a subscriber, and you want to listen to God Does Speak. God Does Speak, because once you hear what God is saying, you're going to want to. You're going to have the reason to want to be prudent. You want to have the reason to be prepared. Well, the second number two segment on the top three of the Torch, it's not a political problem, it's a church problem. And this is a fantastic segment because really, when you get down to the real issue, it's not a political problem. It starts with the church. We even said it even today on this program that a healthy America is a byproduct of a healthy church. And according to George Barna, some of the statistics that he shared regarding the church, you're saying that 80% of the Christians surveyed believe that worship was about them. And it's like, you know what? It's not about left wing or right wing. It's not about either party, but it's about the church being in the right place with God, and it's about the church repenting and turning back to the Lord. He even talked about in Luke 13 where they talked about the tower in Siloam falling, and he says, listen, don't worry about them, but unless you repent. And when you see disaster all across the country and the world, we don't want to point our fingers and look at as a church and say, well, they deserve that. We need to see that as a warning to us and say, you know what, unless we repent, unless I turn from my ways, then, you know, I can take heed because I don't want that same destruction to come upon myself.
And it's so important, you know, that Jesus said, unless you repent, not unless you believe.
That's right.
You know, not unless you go and have, say, some prayer. He said, unless you repent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's just, you know, we got to really understand. Hopefully, you know, really soon we're going to just go ahead and do a whole. And when you're talking about segments, but, you know, you're talking about these are clips from what were topics that we're talking about on VFN Radio highlights. So you're not having to, you know, you want to just hear one piece of that particular day's broadcast. You can hear it.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
And that's just real neat. That's real neat. I love the top three.
Yeah. And the number three. Closing out here, the top three for the VFN Torch is the flawless word of God. You know, there was a recent poll that was conducted by Lifeway Research that said that 19% of Christians surveyed said they read God's word daily.
19%. Okay, out of 100%, out of every 1,000, 190 read it.
That's it. Correct.
Are you serious?
Yes, 19% reads God's word daily.
So that means out of a million Christians, how many of the million are reading it?
Well, that'd be 190,000.
So then that would be 810,000 not reading it.
That's right. That's right.
Not knowing the word.
Not knowing the word.
I don't see a problem there. You see any problem there? Not good. Not good. Not good.
Huge.
Huge. Because he said, teach them to obey. This is what he said. This is what Jesus said. He said, those who follow my teachings, mm-hmm. which means you actually have to know what they are really, I mean, these words really, really my disciple. Well, there's some people that really aren't then.
That's right.
And there's some people that really are. And when we really are, is when we really know what he says and we really follow them. And by mm-hmm. following him, we're no longer following what we did, which is called repentance.
That's right.
Wow. Well, so out of every million, that's 810,000 that are not.
It's huge. And we wonder.
That's a difficult. That's not good.
No, not at all.
So that means you have people that are protesting for the taking down of the Ten Commandments, but they never read the Ten Commandments, and they probably don't even know what they are.
Exactly.
Are you serious?
Absolutely serious.
Oh,
Lifeway
my
Research.
Goodness.
Lifeway Research just conducted. It's a brand new poll. And so, but here's the good news. Here's the great news. That if you're not reading God's word, you can. You can start today. You can begin to have a relationship with God. You can turn your heart back to God. You can repent and begin to start spending time with him. That opportunity is available to you and to everyone.
Well, that's so cool because that means I'm in control of my own destiny.
Absolutely.
I mean, I could just right now, I could just say, you know, I could put everything aside. I mean, if I have leave days at work, I could just, you know, I'm going to take my Bible. I'm just going to go read it. And
imagine.
I encourage you, you know, to start with the Gospel of John in the New Testament
mm-hmm.
and read that. Gospel, that book is called John. You'll see it. It's like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where the New Testament starts. So mm-hmm. it would be the fourth gospel. And start with John chapter 1, verse 1, and just read that one chapter and then begin to read the word. You know, and you can change your own destiny. Now look, there's something I probably want to tell you about that you may have tried this before and it seemed Greek to you. You know, it seemed, you know, and it could be a couple reasons. You know, one reason could be because you're trying to read your great grandfather's Bible, who mm-hmm. himself, who doesn't even speak the King's English, and you're trying to thou-less this thing to death, mm-hmm. you know, and your brain doesn't function that way. And another reason could be is that if you don't know Jesus,
it's not going to make sense to you.
Because the word of God is living and it's active and it's sharper than a double-edged sword, that you actually have to know the author of the Bible. But you can know him. You can make a decision now. And so when you do decide to do what 820,000 aren't doing out of a million people who say they're Christians, you know, when you do decide to do that, you're actually going to be successful at it, because if you know Jesus, if you make him the Lord of your life, that's what he wants you to do, and he's going to reveal the word to you. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be, it's going to be, it's so awesome spending time with him when you know him, because you're just like, oh, this is good. Oh, this is good. Oh, this is good, you know?
That's right. It becomes a living book, and it will speak to you every single day.
Every day, no matter where every you're at, day. God's word speaks.
There you go. Well, those are the top three of the VFN Torch.
Well, praise God. Praise God. Love top three. Love top three. Well, we'll talk about the word, the moment of wisdom. The moment of wisdom. It is 13th of the month, and we're in Proverbs chapter 13. We always look at the corresponding day of the month. Proverbs 13, verse 20. And we want to just get wisdom in our life. You know, wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. There's people going to college, getting doctorate degrees, that can't tie their shoes, you know, or they don't realize they can't afford those shoes.
You know? That's right.
You know, but they have this doctorate degree. Why? Because they don't have wisdom, but they have all this knowledge. They can tell you what the shoe's made out of. They can tell you, you know, what threads and, you know, what the cost of it was, what was the breakdown of the pricing of the company and how it's trading on the stock market. But they don't know, they can't afford them shoes. Because, you know, they don't have wisdom, right. You know, and Proverbs 13, we're going to have, take some of that wisdom at this moment, at this wisdom moment. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, it reads, says, he who walks with the wise grows wise. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Mm. Think about that. Mm. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but he who is a companion of fools suffers harm. It matters. Wisdom says it matters who we spend time with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even those in the world understand this simple equation. They understand that, hey, if I want to become a successful person, I need to hang out with successful people. I need to read successful books from successful authors. I need to hang out with those. I need to they call it internships, and they can go do it for free. Yeah. Apprenticeships. And they go, they say, you know why? Because if I will walk with the wise, I will grow wise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they do it with gratitude because they know that I'm going to become like them, because it matters who you hang out with. And so, you know, businesses, the business person stays in constant relationship with those who can help them and inspire them and train them and teach them how to be successful and to do better. Why? Because that's how you actually grow wiser and smarter. You're not going to learn how to run the company constantly hanging out with the mail clerk all the time at lunch. I mean, you're going to have to make a decision. If you want to fly with the eagles, you're going to have to hang out where they nest, you know?
Stop hanging around with the turkeys.
Yeah, start hanging out with the turkeys.
Stop hanging out with
the turkeys. And it's, the world understands that. And you're probably even understanding that right now. Yeah, that makes sense. That's exactly why I was eating lunch with so-and-so or whatever. But yet, quite often, many Christians don't have this wisdom, or they don't apply this wisdom in their life. You know, if we spend our time in relationship with those who love God, those who abide with him, who obey God, who want others to know God, and they share the gospel of the kingdom with others, we'll begin to do the very same thing. We'll continue, and we'll start doing things that they're doing because we're hanging out. We're gonna take on, and by the way, no matter what you want to do, you're going to take on the spirit of those that you hang out with. And so, but also though, if we once walked with God, close to God, and we once loved him and obeyed him and abided with him, but now we start, you know, building relationships with people who don't hang with God, who don't abide with him, who don't want him to be made known and to share his kingdom, then we're going to become like that. It's just going to go like this atrophy of what you once had. It just kind of goes away and it fades away, and it's this half-life starts just going and going and going. And I mean, Paul says this in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15:33, when he was writing to the church there in Corinth. He said, don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character.
Mm-hmm.
And one man says, you know, tell me your friends and I'll tell you your future.
That's your destiny, right?
Tell me your friends and I'll tell you your future.
Wow.
Why? Because they understand the principles that quite often the church does. You know, I love Jesus, but I like hanging out with so-and-so. Well, you know, friends with the world is an enemy with God. Why? Because you're going to become like those people that you're hanging with.
Yeah. Birds of a feather flock together.
Flock together. You know, the prophet Amos said this in Amos 3:3. He says, can two walk together lest they agree? At some point, you're going to get an agreement with that which you're walking with, or it's going to come apart. So it's vitally important who we decide to spend our time with, since our relationship can either make us better people, wiser people, or corrupt people. Our choice of relationship is so important that it can have eternal, and it will have eternal consequences. Of course, you might ask yourself, well, how can I reach those who are bad company for the Lord? How can I reach those? Because this is what quite often you would hear people say. He says, well, you know, I'm just trying to reach them, right? It's like, oh, I didn't even know you were there with them. You blend in so well.
That's right.
He said, you know, how can I reach those then? Because God loves everybody. He wants to reach them. And you're absolutely right. You know, you're absolutely right. He wants you to reach them, but he doesn't want you to become them. He mm-hmm. wants them to become more like him, which you should be him in their presence. So you need to be very aware of this wisdom that we're talking about today with Wisdom Moment, which is to be very careful. Paul explains it also when he writes to the church of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. He says, brothers, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch out. Think about it. But watch yourself, he says, or you also may be tempted.
Mm-hmm.
It matters who you hang out with. If you hang out with a fool, and this is a fool is someone who says that there is no God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A fool is someone who denies God. A fool is someone who says they know God, but they deny him with their life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Paul says, listen, if they're living in open sexual sin, they're doing these different things, and they're saying that they're a believer, he says, have nothing to do with them.
That's right.
And the reason why he's saying that is hopefully so they'll repent and come back, but also so you won't become like them.
Like them.
Mm-hmm.
Because we find out that the companions of fools will suffer harm. And so today's moment of wisdom is, yes, we should reach out to everybody, but we reach out to them from the balcony to bring them up to God, not for us to go down where they are and get into that particular darkness. We're bringing them into the light. We're encouraging them, but we're not becoming them. We're all on a journey of becoming more Christ-like. So today's wisdom moment is Proverbs 13:20. Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with the wise grows wiser, but a companion of fools suffers harm. We'll be right back.
You know, John, I have been so encouraged listening to you and sharing your stories about Elijah and Isaiah and Maya and how you got to spend time with them at one of their baseball games, how encouraged they were with the fact that you were just simply there. Your presence, just being with them, encouraged them. Tell me about that.
Well, that's cool, man. I can understand what you're saying because
yeah.
I feel that way when I know that God is near me.
Yeah.
You know, when I have a relationship with him and I know that he's present, he's not far away.
Mm-hmm.
He's not too far that is, you know, he can't reach out to me, not too far that his eyes are not always on me. And maybe you are listening today and you wish that you had a father to be in your life, or you wish that somebody was there to watch you. I want to tell you that you're not alone. Many of us have experienced the same things in our lives, and we wanted to know more about God ourselves.
Yeah.
But it was a journey. We were all on a journey. Isn't that right, Steve?
Absolutely.
And that journey brought us to a point where, you know what? I want to meet the Father.
That's right.
I want to meet Father God. And so some of us have shared our stories. You know, a lot of it's not pretty, but what is? But what it truly is, it's real.
Mm.
And if you're looking for a story, a real life story, that would help encourage you, I want to ask you to find out more at memyfather.org, where real people have gone through real things to find the real father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Have you ever been listening or reading the Word of God, and it just seems like you were just reading a math book? You know, there's a lot of books that I've read in my life, and I've learned that there's a big difference between a textbook, a book, and the Word of God. There's a big difference between the Word of God and the God of the Word. And I want to encourage him that if you want to encounter the God of the Word, Jesus Christ, you can. He's not just a few letters in a pages that you don't understand. He's alive, and he's got a plan for you, and he wants nothing more than to spend time with you on a daily basis. He wants to speak to you. He wants to hear your voice, and he wants you to know his voice. Find out more at iabide.org.
Steve, I don't know if you knew this, but you know that we have a Twitter account, and this is a great way where our VFN radio listeners can stay plugged in and connected. I want to encourage you right now to go to twitter.com/VFNTV1 and follow us. By doing that, you'll get tweets on a daily basis where you can get connected, informed, and educated on everything that is happening on VFN radio. Again, twitter.com/VFNTV1. Steve, have you seen our Facebook page?
Yeah.
Dude, it's awesome. You know, for all of our radio subscribers, you can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/VFNTV. Every day, there's fresh segments that are posted on there, and it's a great way for you to stay connected and be in touch. I want to encourage you, too, to encourage your friends to like our page. We want to continue to get the good news out, to share encouraging stories, to share God's news behind the news, as well as informing you, educating, and inspiring you. Again, check us out at facebook.com/VFNTV, and don't forget to like us.
You know, John, I've been really encouraged, you know, listening to Greg, you know, hearing about his, he's got a lot of direction about wanting to, you know, start working out again. And I went to a local gym, and they had a membership fee, man. They wanted like $50 a month.
$50 a month.
Yeah. I was like,
it's kind of cheap, actually.
Well, my workout plan is just going to work just to save up that $50 just so I can have a membership fee to get into the gym to start working out. I'm like, this ain't working, man, you know? And I'm like, I just can't do the $50. And I was like, I gotta find something that I can, you know, that's going to encourage me. Well, there's no subscription fee.
Really?
And I found out. Check it out. You can subscribe. VFNTV.com. Become a subscriber. You get more content. You get more messages that'll encourage you. If you're not a subscriber, check it out. Go to VFNTV.com. Become a subscriber.
Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the last couple moments is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. Well, I'm looking right here at a live feed coming out of Yemen. That's Yemen right there. We got Syria. I mean, you have
Libya.
Egypt.
Libya. You have Egypt, and you have Yemen, and they're battling the police right now as we speak. Mm. And I just want to encourage you as a believer to understand that he says, in this life you will have troubles, that storms will come, and there, you know, there will be war. Nation will rise against nation, and people will claim, "Hey, I'm the Christ." What he's saying is, people will claim that they know Jesus, but they don't know him.
Right.
And he say he's out there, he's over here. He says, "Listen, don't go there because the kingdom of God is within you."
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the hope of glory is Christ in you. And so as you're watching these things, if you need to watch them, I encourage you to stay tuned and get as much viewpoint about things, because our goal is to keep you informed, just give you enough so you know, but also to be able to give you God's perspective of that, to realize, hey, you know what, this is, you know, it's all just, you know, history repeating itself. and that it's going to be the great time for the church, because the church is going to bring in a great harvest of people who were during the God check that we talked about, when they find out that these things, I turn to them as God, but they're not God. Obviously, they didn't pay off, and I need God. And that's what you're going to be doing, is helping them find God. And if you presently have not connected to a fellowship of believers who walks in what we talk about quite often on VFN Radio, maybe VFN, the VFN family is for you. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go to vfnfamily.org and it kind of shares a little bit about it. And pretty soon there's going to be a video on the front page called it's a Vine seminar type video that has just people just sharing how their lives have been affected and touched by, you know, what's happening. Because you need to hear what people are saying and their encounters with God. And it's amazing, just totally amazing, you know, what God's doing. You know, being the church is not as hard as religion or as expensive as religion has told you it is. And you can do it whether you're in Nepal or you can Nepal, India, or you can do it whether you're in L.A.
That's right.
You know, it just be in the church, you know, be in the church. So I want to encourage you. You can go there and read some testimonies. You can kind of find out. It's VFN, V as in Victor, VFNfamily.org. You know, our driving force in the VFN family is just a simple, simple thing. The great commandment and the great commission. Mm-hmm. Remember, they asked Jesus, what's the greatest thing of all these laws? You know, what's the greatest of everything?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's a legal viewpoint of things. And so he says, well, this is it. He says, the greatest commandment of all is to love the Lord your God
mm-hmm.
with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it. Love mm-hmm. your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Jesus was going, he says, listen, I want you to, he said, this is the commission I have for you. Not the great suggestion, but the great commission is to go into all the world and tell them about the Father. Tell them they have access to him through me. Preach the kingdom of God.
That's right.
And so it's the simplest but yet most profound reason why we even exist, the VFM family, is out of obedience to God. So we just say we're loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same.
Mm-hmm.
Find out more about that at vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org. We're coming to the end of our extra hour. We had a wonderful time. Get the right perspective, and you'll be okay. Cheer up. You caught his eye. God bless. Don't forget about the 24/7 loop. It'll begin about 30 minutes. And find out more at vfntv.com. God bless.